And this is all recorded on my website, which I run myself. I run my own website, Lennox Servers, and that's what I do. Go right ahead. Shabbat Shalom. Now, if you're wondering what that is, that's not a commandment to do, but that's in actually the book of Numbers, chapter 10, when they used to blow the silver trumpets, not the shofar. See those little skinny silver trumpets? They used to blow that for the coming calling of the assembly, and then they also blew them for the calling the elders, and also for war, which we don't really know what sounds it was. But that's, we just do that in memorial just because it sounds good in here. Anyway, well, we're one of Messiah congregation, and that says Kahalcha b'Mashiach in Hebrew right there, okay? And we're just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And there's Shabbat Shalom in English and Hebrew, okay? Matter of fact, I'd like to start a Hebrew class again, but I have to find some, I call them victims, because it's learning a language and it's pretty complicated. But anyway, let's pray and ask God bless and anoint this Shabbat service. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, first for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. Jesus, we just thank and praise you. We could know you and love you and keep your commandments, Father. Bless and anoint everyone here. I pray you'll touch and heal them, Lord and God, of any ill, of any sickness, any disease, anything that's going on with them that they're not even aware of, Father. I pray you'll strengthen them. I pray you'll help them in every endeavor. I pray you'll increase their faith, give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. And I thank God for another Shabbat. Encamp your angels round and about us, Lord and God. I just thank God that you're the living God and there's none else. And you're the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, today, of course, I don't know who else is coming, so we're just going to start. There's people on, you're going to forget about them, but they're online around the world right now behind that screen. But, you know, we're using something called the Gregorian calendar right now. And according to Pope Gregory, it's March 12, 2016, right? And there's what the word March means. It's actually pretty terrible. It's right there. It's March was the original beginning of the year. Yeah, that's true. And it was a time of resumption of war. And it's the month of Mars. You see that? That's where we get the name. So a lot of things we say naturally and every day of our life, they all come from pagan origin, like the names of the months, the names of the days of the week, and all this kind of stuff. But you have to look that up yourself. However, at our congregation, we bring into focus, God has his own calendar. Okay? Here's what Mars is right there, the Roman god of war. By the way, don't forget to change your clocks tonight. I don't know. They want you to change it at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I don't know who's going to be awake. I'm changing it earlier than that. But anyway, here's God's calendar. We're in the leap year this year. We're in the 12th month of God. Now it's the 13th. We're in the second Adar, and today's the second day of Adar. And you might say, where does it say that in the Word? Well, go to Esther chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And I write it in Hebrew, too, for people that read Hebrew, in case anyone shows up. And the word Adar means glorious. And, of course, it's part of March and part of April. So that we bring it to focus, God has his own calendar that has been erased or deleted. Just like God's Sabbath has been deleted from the world. God's feasts are deleted. Everything of God is deleted. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that has never been discussed or mentioned in your life. They've been deleted from your knowledge. You don't even know they're missing. Most people don't even know that something's wrong. And we've been doing this now about 15 years of doing this. The other Protestant was 17 years, and then before that was another whole religion. But anyway, if you missed me in the last 15 years, you can go to my website. I have figured out how to put it on in text. You could read them. You could listen to them. You could watch them. And you could even download them to your MP3 players. So whatever you prefer. So I'm trying to do every format, you know, and trying to make everyone comfortable because some people can't read a bunch of, you know, stuff. We're on something right now called Pow Talk, and we're connected on the internet around the world. And there's the URL, if you know, that's another term in Hebrew, I mean, in the computer world. But there's the link that you could put in your Real Player right there, if you have something called Real Player. And you could actually see me right now live, and it's working. Of course, I would love to come to anyone's group and talk about the Hebrew roots of the faith from Scripture, not from Judaism. There's a big difference. We left the Messianics because Messianics are a mess. And there's many flavors of Messianics nowadays, and they all say something different. Matter of fact, it was unusual for me when I came out to Hohenwald. I met a whole bunch of people here that sort of keep the Sabbath, but then they hated Apostle Paul. And I was like, huh? And I tried to help them, but they all got upset at me. So I said, Apostle Paul, Yeshua said he was a chosen vessel. I said, Peter said he was a beloved brother. I said, Ananias said he's a beloved brother. How could you discredit him? Or I said, maybe you're misinterpreting him. But they didn't want to go over any verses. But anyway, you can always invite me over. I'd be glad to come and go over the Hebrew roots of your faith from Scripture. Today's topic, I want to talk a little bit about the feast of, we say, Yehovah in Hebrew, or Yehovah. They're coming, and they were a shadow of the first coming of Messiah, Yeshua. We do them in memorial. In other words, the spring feasts are the first coming of Messiah. The fall feasts are a prediction of the second coming of Messiah one day in someone's lifetime, whenever that is. There are seven other holy days which are treated like Sabbaths, and no work, no buying and selling. I mean, you couldn't get us to work today for nothing or buy and sell. I mean, there's nothing that would, wild horses couldn't drag us. $1 million. Right, they couldn't buy us either. But we found out in the first month, the third month, and the seventh month of God, and that's Ha'aviv is the first month, or Nisan, and then we have Sivan is the third month, and the seventh month is Ha'etanim. It's not Tishrei, that's made up, okay? But there's actually two Sabbaths in the first, one Sabbath in the third, and four Sabbaths in the seventh. And if I go too fast for you, remember, later you can go to my website and take it nice and slow, okay? But I have a little bit of information to go over. So we're concerned with the first and the third months of God. And so you see there's three extra Sabbaths we're going to be talking about, and we'll find out where they are. So let's start, and we always start in the beginning, right? Bereshit. It says, and God, that's Elohim, said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. So these two lights up there that we call the sun and the moon, they're for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. It says, Vayahu le'otot u le mo'adim u le yamim ve shanaim. Okay? But anyway, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And you know what's really interesting about that? If you read the first 4 days of Genesis, there was no sun and moon, but there was still an evening and the morning, which is like, so God created something called light that we don't even know about. But anyway, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And the sun is not a star, because it says he made the stars also. Our sun is very special if you know anything about science. And we do a lot of science here. And God set them. I always think how big God is, because he just took the sun and he set it in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day, Yom Revi'i. Okay? So anyway, this is what we're concerned about, the Feast of God today. Well, we know as of March 12th, today, we're still in, this is called winter, even though it's warm out. March starts, spring starts in March 20th, I believe. So the feast, the appointed seasons of Yehovah, or Yehovah, as they say in English. And that's the Moedei Yehovah, the Moedim. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Passover, Pesach, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Chag HaMatzot, First Fruits, Bekurei, and the Feast of Weeks. That should be Chag Shavuot. And somehow the Chag came in last there. And Feast of Weeks is also known as Feast of Harvest, has two names. So the third month, which is Sivan, is when the giving of the law, that's the commandments we're giving and all the ordinances there, and the giving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's when they occurred, in the third month of God, and that's called Sivan. Everyone here heard of Sivan, right? That's the third month of God. So if you want to know about the feast, we start in Leviticus 23. Jehovah spoke unto Moses.
Can you explain a little bit about why you're talking about like the moon, why we choose the first physical crescent, like what you said before?
Talk about the moon? Well, what we do is we observe, of course, we just did the Rosh Chodesh, which is the new moon. What that means is when we see a little crescent on the right there, we know it's a new month of God. And that's how we know when the feasts of God are coming. We keep track of the new moon. We keep,
In Israel,
yes. And we keep track of the months, so we could actually figure out. And you have to know the calendar of God, so you can just do a simple math and figure out when the third month is and the seventh month is, and you know it's that simple. That's how we know when these seasons of God occur.
Because Judaism uses the dark moon.
You can't follow Judaism because they have so many things made up. We study Judaism. They're all mixed up. They have even the wrong names for months, and they just made so many things up. I can't begin to tell you right now. And watch out for Messianics, because Messianics copy Judaism also, and they have a lot of things that are not made up also. So we'll be talking about Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, which is Feast of Harvest, and the third month is when everything occurred. As far as the giving of the law and the giving of the Holy Spirit. So getting back to Leviticus 23, and Yehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of Yehovah. And that's sort of a plurality of God, because Yehovah is talking about Yehovah, if you catch that. So, you know, these are God's feasts that have been deleted from the world, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. They're mikra kodesh. They're sacred assemblies. They're a public meeting. God says, even these are my feasts, and they've been erased. Well, I mean, obviously, most people never heard of them. And then right after that, he goes right into the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day... Not the first day. The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of Yehovah in all your dwellings. That means everyone, wherever you dwell, wherever you end up today, they have to be keeping the Sabbath. Otherwise, that's breaking the Sabbath. In other words, if you go, you can't go visit relatives today that are not keeping the Sabbath, because it says in all your dwellings, wherever you dwell. We're reading out of the King James Version in English, by the way, in case you're wondering. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations. Ye shall proclaim in their seasons. And we're going to try our best to do that. So we're going to go to the 14th day of the first month, which is Ha'aviv. At even is Jehovah's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Jehovah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, I'm not going to put down all the verses about eating unleavened bread because they're numerous, but I had a friend tell me, he goes, do you have to eat unleavened bread? I said, well, you know, I sort of like it myself, but I mean, yeah, it says right there, you must eat unleavened bread. And unleavened is a symbol of humbleness. You know, it's no pride. You know, regular bread is a symbol of, you know, puffed up and anything that has yeast and rises. So there's actually spiritual understandings of all this besides the physical. And then we have two Sabbaths attached to the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the front and on the end. It says the first day, a Sabbath, you shall have a holy convocation. You should do no civil work therein. Servile. Servile in Hebrew means melechet avodah. It's a little simpler in Hebrew because I don't know what servile work means in English. But melechet avodah means no public work and no domestic work. That means no work, okay? It says, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. And of course, we don't do offerings anymore because there's no Levites and there's no Levitical priesthood. And now I just thank God for the Holy Ghost and fire that keeps us alive. So, and the seventh day, now the seventh day is also a Sabbath. So the first day and the seventh day is a Sabbath, a holy convocation. You should do no work. So there's two Sabbaths that may not be on the seventh day. Sometimes it ends up on a different day. So that's why you have to know God's calendar. It's really important. And then if you meet me in April 8th, meet me on April 9th, I'm going to be going, Happy New Year! Because it's God's New Year. Think about it. God's New Year is in the spring when everything comes alive, when the grass starts growing, when the flowers start blooming. Pope Gregory has got everyone doing New Year when everything's dead and frozen. Which one sounds new?
God.
Yeah. But anyway, so if you see me in April, I'll be going, Happy New Year. And if you see me on the 14th of Nisan, Aviv, it's going to be Passover. In the 22nd of April, in the evening.
In the evening before.
That's the evening before.
Sorry, I didn't put before.
Yeah. The evening before.
So it's the 22nd.
Right. And then, of course, Nisan.
No,
you're wrong.
That is the second evening. That's
Passover is the 22nd of April in the evening, period. See the period?
Yes.
Let me put the period there.
Okay.
And then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Right after we eat the Passover, which we're going to have the Passover right here, I guess, and we're going to
the feast. I didn't see you had that 3 times.
Yes.
Sorry.
Feast of Unleavened Bread is going to be on the 15th of Nisan, okay? And that's like right after we eat the Passover, then starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do you understand that?
Yep.
Okay. So that takes care of that. And then, of course, the Feast of
Unleavened. Yeah. The 23rd. I didn't change the study.
It's the 23rd and the 29th,
yes.
Okay?
We didn't change
right.
That after we changed.
That's okay. It's the 23rd and the 29th, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days. So I don't know what, we'll be online and around for 7 days. And then, of course, we have, right in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have First Fruits, which is, of course, the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead, symbolic of that. It's the first fruits unto God. And you can read that all right there. And we're going to count. This is really important right here. We're going to count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So what's the day after the Sabbath?
First day.
So we're going to count from the morrow after the Sabbath, 7 Sabbaths complete. And that's going to be called Pentecost, known as Pentecost, which is Feast of Weeks, right? Because Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks, is always on Sunday. And believe it or not, that Sunday is going to be a Sabbath. It's the only Sunday I know that's going to be a Sabbath. Might be another Sunday somewhere, but it's going to be a Sabbath. And this might get a little confusing to you, but I have all the dates down. You could look them up later. And even unto the morrow after the 7 Sabbaths shall you number 50 days. The word Pentecost in Greek means 50. And that's really important because Pentecost is just a number for 50, but it's really Feast of Weeks. So in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when they were there, it was only Jews there, and they all got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were there for the Feast of Weeks in the temple. Later on in Acts, chapter 10, is when the Gentiles got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you could read that yourself. But anyway, and that's all going to happen in the month of Sivan, the third month. Okay? And the word Sivan is going to be June 12th, 2016. Okay? So If you're around on June 12th, which is Sunday, 2016, we'll be right here, I guess. Keeping the feast of, you know, what's really strange about Pentecost? I was sort of a Pentecostal minister, and we never even kept Pentecost. And I was like, ridiculous. I thought, what's wrong with us? And I tried to explain it to some Pentecostal ministers, and they still don't want to do it. I said, but Pentecost is a Sabbath. It says right in the Bible. Read it. Anyway, the word Sivan in Hebrew means, you parse it down in Hebrew, it means sieve. It means bright, splendid. Okay? So that's what that's all about. And I'm gonna go pass this up real quick, because most of you guys know all this, right? The first fruits. And this is very important. God said, I am Jehovah your God. So, you know, when you have the God of the universe telling you to do something, probably it's a good idea to do what he says, because whether you like it or not, or know it or not, you're going to meet him, and he's going to say, I gave you one book to read. You don't have to come as Einstein. You don't have to get all the DVDs. You don't have to buy everyone's stuff. I gave you one book to read, and yes, there'll be a test. Did you know about my feast? Did you know about my commandments? Did you keep them? Did you know about my Sabbath? Did you know about the food laws? Did you know about a lot of different things? Or did you follow everyone else on the world? Yeah. And that's a scary thing, because we're all going to meet God. You know, I was noticing in the Gospels, we call the Gospels and letters, Gospels and letters. We don't call them the New Testament, because if you want to know where the New Testament is, go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. You'll find out what the New Testament is, the New Covenant, and you'll find out to whom it was given. And then if you want to know where Apostle Paul got that from, he got it from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, and you read a few verses. And the New Covenant is totally different than what people think. The New Covenant is not a bunch of letters and books, okay? But anyway, if you go to the Gospels and letters, which are very needful, it has the word Passover 28 times. So how could people not do Passover? And then Yeshua says he's the Passover. Just like the word Sabbath is 60 times in the Gospels and letters, okay? I'm not going to read all these 28 times for you. This is not going to be a long study. But I want you to know that it's 28 times, okay? So I'm going to just scroll through this so you see how many people miss, okay? They miss a lot of verses that talk about Passover, right? And you can go and go and go and go. And then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is mentioned 9 times in the Gospels and letters, okay? And you would think, well, that's probably enough to give you some information that maybe you should continue on with this memorial and understand what it's all about, right? And you can read all those verses about that, okay? So I'm not going to keep you here long, because I know there's a lot of questions and things you want to ask and go over. But Feast of Unleavened Bread is mentioned 9 times. That's enough, isn't it? And then, so you pass that up. And then, of course, we see the word first fruits in the Bible. That's mentioned at least 8 times in the Gospels and letters. So the resurrection is really important. Matter of fact, I would say the resurrection is probably the most important event in the Bible, because without the resurrection, your faith would be vain and everything, you'd be lost and you'd be dead in your sins, because the whole thing would be nothing. There would be nothing. We here in our congregation, we believe Yeshua, Jesus, is the Word of God made flesh. He is God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So we believe that. Matter of fact, every time you read in your Bible where it says, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah speaking, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that's not words flying in outer space. That's an actual manifestation of God in a body form showing up to Isaiah speaking, because he is the word. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah speaking. The word of the Lord came to Daniel. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord comes to a lot of people. Joshua. Remember when he came to Joshua? Joshua said, whose side are you on? He goes, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua, he just fell down. Anyway, the word Pentecost is mentioned 3 times in the Gospels and letters, and it really is the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest. And it's really important to know about that. Acts chapter 2 is where the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, the whole 50 days was finally there. And they were there in one accord in their upper room there. And they were Jews. And I'm going to read that to you because a lot of people think their church was founded there. No, that's not true. No, there was no Protestant churches in the book of Acts. Acts is a historical book, and it's really accurate. And we have it right here. Apostle Paul talks about it in Acts 2:20. He mentions it. He's going to leave Ephesus until Pentecost. He talks about it there. So why aren't people acknowledging Pentecost, which is a Sabbath, and it's a Sunday? And of course, here we have, I'll read this to you. Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks, the giving of the Spirit of God to the Jews. And if you have your Bible, you can follow your Bible or just read along with me up here. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, was fully come, they were all at one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is not talking about the Protestants, the Pentecostals, that made up something called a prayer language. That's all made up. This is something supernatural when the Holy Spirit gave utterance, not when they make up their little prayer language, and they speak in tongues at will. You can't do that. You can't go speak in tongues and start doing that. That's ridiculous. It's when the Spirit of God speaks through you. They were all. It says when the Spirit gives utterance, not you. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem, who?
Jews.
Why were they there? Because it was the Feast of Weeks. It says they were devout men of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together because they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, our own tongue, where we were born? Right? So this speaking in tongues there was like amazing, because it'd be like me speaking right now, and all of you are speak a different language, but you all understand me. A super miracle. They were Parthenian Jews from the Parthenians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers at Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. There's Jews from everywhere. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Of course, and then there's always the mockers saying, oh, these men are full of new wine. Always the people that make fun. But we have a faithful brother. His name is Peter. Cephas, he stands up, he says, with the 11. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. What's the third hour of the day? Around 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay? But this is that, the speaking of tongues is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Whoa. But this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And I go to Joel chapter 2, and it shall come to pass afterward I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Daughters are going to prophesy. I thought women weren't allowed to speak. But it says right here, daughters are going to prophesy. And your young men, your old men, that's my category now, my old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Now listen to this. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids, whoa, in those days I'll pour out my spirit. I know there's a lot of churches don't like women to say anything, but this is totally against Bible. because I'm for anyone that has something godly to say. Just like the Bible says, God's going to pour his spirit on handmaids. Those are females, right?
Yeah.
And I'll show, he's going to show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yehovah come, the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Jehovah had said, in the remnant whom Yehovah shall call. And I just thank God that he's called us. I mean, he picked us I don't even know why I get to know about the Sabbath. I mean, I was a person a long time ago, never even heard of it. I was too busy, which is bad. But I thank God I took time out. Back to Acts 2. Now, that was Joel I was reading to you. This is Acts 2. Same thing. This is where he got it from. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they're going to prophesy. So that's exactly where it comes from. Joel, the book of Joel. And the same thing, the same verses right here. He's going to show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You know, a lot of people, we always match everything up with the Gospels and letters to the Tanakh. It's called Tanakh. And the word Tanakh is just an acronym for the Torah, the five books of Moses, the prophets, Nevi'im, and the Kutuvim, the writings. That's everything else. So the Tanakh is just an acronym. And here's the giving of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Because, you know, a lot of people, God is no respecter of persons. He don't care if you're, you know, Jewish, Irish, Spanish, any-ish. And of course, I used to say, he don't even care if you're ticklish. But as long as you repent and you join the Israel of God, because there's one family. God always has one family. You know, it's really sad in the world. If you notice, even in Tennessee, where we have a house, there's over, how many churches was there? There was over a couple of thousand churches. And I thought, well, there's no more one body, because every church doesn't know what the other church is doing. That'd be like your head don't know what your arm is doing, and your leg don't know what your hand is doing. But nowadays, Satan has divided up everybody into their own world, and nobody knows anything anymore of what's going on. See, back in the time of Jesus, Yeshua, you were with him or you weren't. There was one God, one way. One truth, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God. But nowadays, everyone wants their own ministry. Like, we're not trying to start a new church here. We're just trying to get people to read the Bible and know things that we found out. We're not interested in being in charge, believe me. We're interested in passing on information. And you have to do your due diligence to verify what we're saying is true. We don't want you to disbelieve us. Be like us, forensic spiritual detectives. We want you to verify everything. Doesn't that sound good? We are not dictators here. But here's at chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Remember him? He was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. We like that. I don't think he's in a band, but anyway, he's in a... Right. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Amen. I do too. I pray to God all the time. He saw in a vision of evidently about the ninth hour of the day. You see, the ninth hour would be 3 p.m., around that time. Because the day usually, you know, we just say approximately starts at 6 a.m. in the morning, and we'd go from there. Yeah. So evidently about the ninth hour of the day, he saw an angel coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I bet if you've seen an angel, you'd probably be frightened. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God." Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? "And now send men to Joppa," which is right on the coast of Israel there, above Tel Aviv, right? "And call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and lodge with one Simon. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." There it is. "He shall tell you what you ought to do." Okay? "And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the house up to pray about the sixth hour." So that's three, about noon, right? "And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" And of course, Peter was going, "What?" Peter said, "No, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean." But the Lord wasn't talking about the food, the animals. "The voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, don't you call common what God cleansed.' This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Why, Peter doubted himself what the vision which he had seen meant. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked what Simon was, which was surnamed Peter, where lodged. Wait, let me read that again. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, 'Behold, three men seek for you.'" Whoa. "Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Wow, so the Spirit of God even talks. "And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, 'Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that fears God, and a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house, and to hear words from you, Peter. Then called he them in and lodged with them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped Peter." No. "Peter said unto him, 'Stand up. I'm also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many things that were come together. And he said unto them," you know, this is Peter, "you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company unto one that is from another nation. But here's what this is what the vision was all about. But God had showed me that I should not call any man, not food, I shall not call any man common or unclean." Whoa. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago," he was fasting for 4 days. "4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold a man stood before me in bright clothing." So fasting works. "And said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Praise the Lord. Send therefore to Joppa, and call thither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I mean, Cornelius just wanted to hear what Peter was, what do you got to tell me, Peter? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, amen, I perceive that God is no respect of persons. That's right in the Torah. But in every nation, anyone that fears God and works righteousness, that means keeps the commandments, is accepted of him. Amen. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord of all. Amen. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, that's the Ruach HaKodesh, and with power, which went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Amen. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge and quick of the dead. Amen. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Yeshua, Jesus, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. Wow. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? They heard them speak with tongues, and they magnified God. So first they got saved, then they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, hey, can anybody forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, Jews? Who's going to say no to that? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they to tarry certain days. Amen. So they got saved, they got the baptism, and they got baptized in water. The Gentiles, and we become all one in Messiah. No one's better than anyone else. We're all one. Now, what's sad is, while we're talking about the feast of God coming, everyone else is talking about Easter coming. A made-up holiday. Everyone here knows that rabbits don't lay eggs? So how in the world did they get chocolate eggs in a basket with a rabbit? In other words, they totally erase the whole resurrection of our God from the dead, Yeshua from the dead. Now I want you to write this down. This is important. In your calendar, which is called the Gregorian calendar, March 27th is called Easter. I want you to grab this. March 27th is called Easter, which is really the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead, right? But they turned it into Easter eggs and chocolate and rabbits, and they don't even talk about the resurrection anymore. Now, if you go a month later to April 22nd, a month later on your calendar, they have the Passover is when Jesus dies. So how could they have in March that Jesus is raising from the dead and a month later he's dying? That's to show you how crazy our calendar is. They should have Jesus dying and then raising from the dead. But this is to show you how the Gregorian calendar has a lot of errors in it. But no, most people don't care because it doesn't mean nothing to them. Does everybody understand that? They have Jesus raising from the dead before he died. He has to die first. Okay. This is a good year to save the calendar and show your friends. How could that be? They have Jesus, Yeshua, raising from the dead almost a month before he dies. Oh, well. Well, in closing, I'm closing my study. In closing, get ready for the spring and the Feast of Jehovah, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Of course, we acknowledge First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. These dates, we're going to fix them. They're a little bit wrong. We'll fix them. But on my website, they're right now because I changed it. But these are the dates. If you want the right dates, go to my website. I have the correct dates in the Gregorian calendar that we use. Okay. Passover is the 22nd.
First of Unleavened is the
23rd. Right. It's on the website. That's good enough. You can just look at the website. So I'm going to end right there. And I hope everybody, let's see who's left here in the POW Talk room. Where is it? There it is. I hope you got something out of this study and people around the world. I want to say thank you for being here today. After this, we usually have something to eat. And then we usually have some coffee, some food, and then we sing and have some music. But you can ask any questions you want. But thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here today. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for the sacrifice of your body that you died for us. And we thank you for the feasts of your first and second coming. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit always and keep us in one body, in one spirit. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua today. Amen. Shabbat shalom, anyone. Anyone have any questions? Any comments? Here's someone right here. Let's see what he has to say.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Very good study. I enjoyed it. So I was reading along, and I was able to watch the video because I got the two computers here. And I did have one question. On that verse talking about Cornelius, it says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So does that just mean it was 4 days ago that he was fasting until that same time? Or was there another verse that I missed that talks about him fasting for 4 days?
It sounds like he was fasting for 4 days to me.
It sounded to me like he fasted 4 days ago.
Sounds like he was fasting for 4 days.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
I mean, it says 4 days ago I was fasting and he had this come to me.
Anyone else have a question or a comment? But let me say goodbye to the guests here. Say goodbye. Thank you for being here.
Sure. Hope I can give you a headache.
No, you can. No,
I'm
so bad.
Yes. And Lord willing, I hope you can go with peace and then move on the store and do that. Very important. So thank you for being here. Show your friends the calendar how they got the era of Jesus raised from the dead, and a month later, he's dying.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, also, were you saying that the dates needed to be adjusted? Because, I mean, I would like to share the notes for the study. So, I guess if you let me know when they're adjusted, they're correct on the site, and I can go ahead and share it with people. Make sure that they know when the days are and so forth. Thanks again.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Well, thank everybody for being here today. Anybody else have a question or a comment? We're going
to
take.
I have to actually look that up.
What was that? I missed it.
I read it.
I will stop the recording. What was the question?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, let me stop the video. God bless everybody out there. I forgot to stop the video. I got to stop the audio.